Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday, Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 15th, 2013, episode 615, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy
Well, it's Freestyle Friday. That is correct. And it does not matter what you do or where you live or whatever. The weekend is always exciting. It doesn't matter. Glenn does it.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't matter what job, how much you like your job, you still like Friday.
Yes. And now I've got a story for you, Glenn, that just is going to make your Friday. Okay? It's going to make all of our listeners Friday. You know the whole the problem that they've been having over in Europe and Ireland, I mean, all the European countries seem to have trouble with their meat because they've been finding horse meat. And all of these random, like lasagna, hot dogs from IKEA, everything has had horse meat in it. And they're not labeled correctly like they're supposed to be. So, in Iceland, officials in Iceland began hearing about the horse meat being secreted into beef products around Europe. They decided to run tests on their own meat to see that it wasn't happening in Iceland. So, Icelandic meat inspector Kahartman Hrensman, I don't know how to say his name, it's Iceland, said that his team decided to test this pie called meat pie. I guess that's a very common food in Iceland, are meat pies. And so he sampled it, and it did not have any horse meat. That's the exciting thing. The problem is it was labeled as beef pie, and there wasn't a lick of meat in it. Not even any meat. There was no pork. There was no chicken, no turkey, no nothing. No meat at all. So I find that hilarious, because if you were in America and you had successfully mass-produced meatless meat pies, you could charge triple for that and sell it to me in the vegetarian section of the freezer section. And I would pay extra for that. I already buy ground beef.
You don't even have to spend money on tofu. I mean,
Morningstar Farms and I are very good friends. I spend a lot on their fake ground beef, their chicken, Boca Burgers. Oh my God, I love them. And I would eat a non-beef beef pie. Why not? Send them over, Iceland. I'm in.
That's funny.
At least there's no horse meat in them. That's the good thing. But people are like a little bit confused as to what they're eating. So they've done some more DNA testing on it. It appears to be, as would be delicious, some type of vegetable matter. But it is a mystery pie, and they have handed the case over to authorities because it is clearly not what it's labeled.
Yeah, a little mislabeling issue there. Probably somewhere, if you look in the fine print, it says beef flavoring. You know, no actual beef use.
Yeah, probably. That's your happy news story for the day. It's Friday. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, adventures abound as we welcome Ranger Confidential author Andrea Lankford to provide plenty of hair-raising rhetoric straight from her book and her life. And the adventure that is Road to the Horse begins anew this week. And Western Radio Show co-host and the most dangerous woman on horseback, Tammy Sarantz, will be here live from Lexington, Kentucky with a preview. I cannot guarantee she will be awake, just alive. The Really Bad Ads continues, and this week we have the ultimate adventure and the ultimate argument against public education here to wreak havoc with your weekend. Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah, Tammy is not known for being a morning person. My Daily Winnie goes out to Becca Knopf, who started a blog called Evolved Equestrian. It's at evolvedequestrian.wordpress.com. And one of her first blog posts were some things that you need to check out in the horse world, and one of them was horses in the morning.
Yay!
Yeah, she put a little description in there of our show and how much she liked it, and people should definitely listen to it. I thought that was fun. So I wish her best in her blog and wanted to give her a little help to get it started. So it's evolvedequestrian.wordpress.com. And if you're listening, Becca, thank you very much.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my mother. And not because she's listening to the show right now, because my mother, being that she is about to be a grandmother and lives in Florida, and I'm all the way in Arizona, apparently she has finally taken my advice and gotten Skype. I sent her for Christmas a webcam because her computer's so old it doesn't even have a camera. So I sent her a webcam. She was to hook it up so we could talk, and, you know, when the baby comes, like, I can hold up the baby, you know. So I, she got Skype, but she hasn't quite figured out that you can just be normal. So I didn't answer the call to Skype because she called sometime early this morning, and I got a voicemail, a Skype voicemail from her, and I wish I could play it because it would sound even garbled across here. But my mother apparently, when the leave your voicemail on my Skype thing started, she started screaming, "Charlie! At her computer, and it is the most hilarious thing you've ever heard, because to me all it sounds like is wah, 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 wah. She's yelling so loud, like, "Mom, just be normal, just be normal, it's okay." So I appreciate the attempt. Apparently I'm going to have to sit down with her a little later and just be like, "Just talk," and she's going to be like, "Okay, I'm talking now." No, Mom. Talk. Normal. It's okay. It's right in front of you. So this
That's
is
like
the same woman
dad.
Who talks really. Yeah. She talks loud into a cell phone. I'm like, "Mom, it's next to your mouth. It's a normal phone. Just because I'm across the country doesn't mean you have to scream." But
gotta yell.
Yeah, I gotta yell. Hopefully she'll figure it out.
The other thing that's disturbing when people first get Skype, especially if they don't have a camera like it built into their computer or their laptop, they tend to take that camera and they set it on the desk, so you get this view looking up at their face, like in their nose. You get it's a disturbing view because it makes everybody look fat. It makes their heads look huge, and it's just a disturbing view.
It's just disconcerting because they're clearly not looking at you when they're talking.
Right.
But it can be sitting off to the left, and she's staring at the computer screen talking. You're like, "Why am I looking at this, your profile?" Put the camera
it's
up
not,
there.
We don't have rules about Skype yet. You know, we haven't come up with those rules yet, so the etiquette rules. We need to write a book, Jamie. You and I need to write a book. We have used Skype more than anybody, so we should write a book. Hey, speaking of moms. Speaking of moms, I have something for you. It's
Uh-oh.
Something that I found on Facebook, and so, I just thought of you because you're going to be a new mom. You're just talking about your mom. Well, I have the Murphy's Law for moms. These are the 10 Murphy's Laws for moms. And you're going to have to learn them because you got a very short period of time here. You're going to be having a screaming Mimi all night long. So here we go. Number one, if you wear black, they will have a runny nose. So don't wear black because they're going to have a runny nose that day. Two, if you wear white, they will have muddy hands.
That's like having a dog. None of these are different than having a dog so far.
Except for the next one. If you change their diaper, they will immediately poop in the new one. Well, that's no different than a horse when you clean their stall, when you think about it.
The second you clean it up. See, I'm telling you, animals are not that different than humans in their infant stages. But I have been warned about the diaper changing, that being that we have a boy, my friend suggested what they're called pee-pee-teepees.
Oh, you put them over the top?
Yep, just while you're diaper changing, because apparently when that cold, you pull the diaper off and that cold air hits them, boop, that's when it squirts up into the air. So you take a pee-pee-teepee and you just put it over the pee-pee while you're doing all the work. She's like,
okay,
trust me, pee-pee-teepees. The two things you need are pee-pee-teepees and two alcohol test strips for your milk. Yeah, that's my friend. They're great, aren't they?
That's funny. Number four, if you mop the floor, they will spill something. But again, with the horse, you clean the stall and they pee. I hate that. We had one horse that, the minute I got done cleaning their stall, that horse peed every single time. Oh, made me so mad. Number five, if you put on fresh socks, you will immediately step in whatever was spilled. Well, that's true now, too. You don't even have to have kids for that.
Don't get a
number
puppy.
Six. Yeah, right, exactly. Or a cat that throws up. Ugh. Number six, if it is perfect, they will fix that for you. I got to tell you a story. My dad, I don't know if I told this story before or not, but my dad was had a hernia operation. And back then, you know, 30 years ago, when they had hernia operations, you were off work for 6 weeks. It was a big deal. And so he was told he had to be off work for 6 weeks, and, you know, he had to hang around the house. Well, he didn't sit still very well. So we got him this huge model to build of the U.S. Constitution, the big ship that has all the little sails and the riggings and everything. And he took that entire 6 weeks and built that model. And it had, must have had 100 little wire lines that went to the sails and every little detail. About 3 weeks later, my brother and I were in a fight, and I threw something, hit the model, and smashed it. Yes.
Oh, dude, are you serious?
Yeah, I remember that. He probably didn't even remember that. No, he's gone now, but he probably didn't even remember that. I remember it to this day because we were, like, devastated. I mean, just devastated.
Oh, you're the worst son ever. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you probably feel way worse about that than he did.
Yeah, I mean, my brother and I still talk about that to this day. If you say it, they will repeat it. It's no different than this show. If it's important.
Wait, on that note, how many friends have you heard, like, where they say their kids sing cuss words? Like,
yes.
It happens all the time. Especially you read on Facebook, you're like, my son just came up to me and said this. It's hilarious. And that's going to be my problem, is trying to, while I think it's hilarious, I'm going to have to be a parent for the first time. Instead of telling them things, hey, go say this to your mom. Now I have to not do that because it's going to be my own child.
Let's see. If it's important, they will forget it.
Sounds like me.
I'm already that way.
Yeah.
If you're tired, they will not be. Well, that's, you're going to have a whole 18 years of that. And if you love them, you will see the beauty in it all. So that's the good one at the end there. Is it harder or easier when you become a new mom at a later age? You know, in your 30s, is it harder? Or is it easier because you've learned from all the mistakes that all your friends went through having kids?
You know, I think, and this is unfortunate, but in my life, there's been a separation with my friends once they had kids. Because people that have kids hang out with other people that have kids. Like,
right.
I made an invitation list for a baby shower, and, like, nobody has children because all my best friends don't have kids. So it's interesting. I mean, granted, I'm a horse person, and I think a lot of women that have horses also don't have kids. I don't know why that is, but I have a list of three or four of my best friends. None of them have children, so I don't think I've been able to learn from anybody's mistakes. Like, I feel like they're all looking at me going, dude, you're screwed. You are so screwed.
We'll find out shortly, won't we?
Exactly.
Because you only got, well, we're coming up the beginning. We're in the middle of March. You've got 2.5 months yet, right?
Yeah, and he's like kicking my butt right now. I can feel him kicking in my, ugh. I'm sorry. Everybody said, and this is going back to the honesty department of this pregnancy. You guys, it's supposed to be this like beautiful, loving thing. Be like, oh my gosh, he's kicking, and like, oh, I can see his little handprint. It's disgusting. I'm sorry. It is nasty. There's something there. It's like alien, and I'm Sigourney Weaver, and it's trying to come out of my abdomen. Like, it is not a beautiful thing. It is so gross and uncomfortable. They are all lying to you. Listen to me right now. It is all a lie. It's not beautiful. It's gross. You feel like you feel terrible. Everything, things just stop working that work, and other things work in overdrive, and it's just not the way you want to be for about 9 months. So let me just tell you right now, it's all lies. Everybody's lied to you.
That's funny. Well, let's go on here. We have our first guest. I'm very excited to talk to her. She has done a few things in her life. She was a park ranger. We're going to talk to her about some books that she wrote, but she's also hiked the entire Appalachian Trail. She's kayaked from Miami to Key West. She cycled from Fairbanks to the Arctic Ocean and became the first to mountain bike the entire Arizona Trail from Utah to Mexico. Either she is one brave woman or one crazy woman. We're not sure. We're going to find out here very shortly. Her name is Andy Lankford, and she has written a couple of books. We're going to talk to her about those. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. I'll tell you what, you have lived a life.
Yeah, I know. I can't even remember all the stuff I've done.
I'm glad you reminded me. You started out and really didn't have any intention of becoming a park ranger when you were growing up, did you?
No. I thought maybe I'd be a veterinarian or work at a zoo.
Now, were you into horses at all growing up, or was that something that came later, too?
Well, I was always into animals, but it wasn't until I became a park ranger where I really started to learn about horses, riding them, and taking care of them.
Yeah. Well, now, you became a park ranger, and how many years did you do that?
12 years.
12 years. And I love the description. I love the description here in your biography about flipping out and throwing away your government benefits and basically throwing caution to the wind and then going out on all of your adventures. Was there a turning point there? Was there one particular thing that happened in your park ranger job that just said, that's it, I'm out of here?
No, not really. It was just I was working at the Grand Canyon during the, I was in charge of the Inner Canyon backcountry during the deadliest hiker season on record. And it was very, very busy, and I had to deal with a lot of tragedies. So it was just a cumulative effect.
And then why do all the things that you ended up doing, and you call yourself, the biography says you became a walkaholic. And obviously to do the Appalachian Trail, which is something that, you know, I think everybody, especially that lived on the East Coast at one time or another and is adventurous at all, says, I want to hike the Appalachian Trail, and nobody ever does it. You actually did it.
Yeah, I did it. And, I call myself a walkaholic because that's my coping mechanism for things, is to get out and walk it off. And you sure got a lot of time to walk off things doing 2,000 miles on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, that's for sure. And everybody that's done it has a little bit different experience, and also, you know, tells the people who haven't done it before, you know, some things are not all what you dream about. And that's kind of, you know, where your tales have led and where the books have come from, is telling the story sort of behind the scenes and things that they aren't always what they seem, are they?
No, you're absolutely right. We kind of have, we create a fantasy, romanticized version of things, like either a job or a relationship or a vacation. And, you know, once you get there and start doing it, like you said, it's a lot more complicated in real life.
Well, tell us about the book, Ranger Confidential, Living, Working, and Dying in the National Parks. I mean, first of all, from the title, I want to go out and read it. That's the first thing. But tell us about that.
It's a all true stories, and it's written from perspective of my career and also the career of three other park rangers who were friends of mine, and we all had sort of similar and contrasting experiences. And unfortunately, one of the park rangers I was very fond with, it ends up being killed in the line of duty. And it's just our stories of what the joys and the hell of being a park ranger.
So can you give us an example of one of the stories that people are going to read in the book?
Yeah, well, one of my favorites is a story about a park ranger, Mary Littell Henson, and at Yosemite in the 90s, there's still a little of chauvinism, and they weren't sure about women doing the hardcore ranger work, and she fought her way to go over the edge of El Capitan, which is 3,000 feet tall, on a little rope no thicker than your thumb, and she fought her way to go down on that rescue, and that's a very exciting story in the book. Also funny.
Now, were there experiences that you had that people, let me rephrase this. One of the things I read in your biography was you talk about nature and how, you know, everybody reveres nature as being this perfect thing, and how humans are the imperfect ones. You have a little bit different view on that, having been in nature that people only dream about doing.
Yeah, nature, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with nature, and there's definitely a dark side and a dangerous side. Wildness bites back. So, I don't have a Pollyanna vision of nature because I've been out in it too much.
And with all the things that you've done, the Appalachian Trail and kayaking and cycling, which one of those adventures would you say was the toughest on you mentally and physically?
Oh, that's a very good question. Probably the hiking, just because it's so harder on your body carrying all your weight on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And the Appalachian Trail was just so long, and toward the end, you're very fatigued, your body very fatigued toward the end.
Now, I've talked to a couple people that have hiked the Appalachian Trail, and it goes from Maine to Georgia and through some of the most mountainous areas on the East Coast. Everybody thinks their vision of that is, oh, you get to see the beautiful countryside and everything. A couple of the people that I've talked to that have hiked through have said that, after a while, you don't see it anymore. You're watching where your next foot is going, and you get to that point of fatigue where you're not really seeing the scenery. Did you get to that point?
No, I was always seeing the scenery, but I just, you start to feel real hungry and tired and sore. I went from Georgia to Maine, and Maine is a very hard, mountainous. It's in October by the time I was there. It snowed and my feet got cold. I saw a hiker fall in front of me. They call Appalachian Trail people through hikers. And he fell in the creek in front of me, and he said, "I'm through hiking." So I get very tired toward the end.
Yeah, I would imagine. Andy, I have a question for you. So you talk about how rough nature can be and how unforgiving it can be, and that's a great example of one. But do you have something that happened to you that kind of set you on that course to think that?
I was a medic for the National Park Service, so you could say rescuing all the broken people who got hurt, and unfortunately some of them died in the outdoors. Yeah, that definitely played a role in me, creating that image in my mind.
Was more of that, though, because I live by the Grand Canyon, and you hear stories of people that, in the middle of the day in the summer, they hike down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. They don't bring any water, and they either die or have to get rescued. Was a lot of it people not being prepared, or was it great, avid people, hikers, that that just got themselves into trouble. What causes the most rescues?
It's really in all the above. The ones who aren't prepared were the most frustrating because you tried to warn them. You had danger signs with the skull and crossbone at the head of the trail, and people would take pictures of it, smiling and laughing, joking, making fun of it. And one body that we recovered, he had a picture on his camera of him smiling in front of that sign. They're very frustrating, but unfortunately, there's also all these acts of God, flash flood, lightning, airplane crashes, things like that, where the people really weren't doing anything wrong.
Wow.
And those are sad and scary.
So I'm glad to hear it's not
because you're out there doing that all the time, and you're vulnerable to the same elements.
Yeah, you have to respect nature, that's for sure.
And I'm glad to hear it wasn't just all the stupid people. That makes me feel better about humanity at all.
Right. Unfortunately, no. It could happen to any of us.
Now, the book is out now. It's called Ranger Confidential. It's available on Amazon. The subtitle is Living, Working, and Dying in the Natural Park by Andrea Langford, and you can find it on Amazon. We'll put a link to it in our show notes as well. I can't wait to read this one. Is it out on the audiobook yet?
It will be soon, and, yeah, there's a great horse patrol story in there. So some of the horse riders will love that chapter.
Okay, great. Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Oh, is there another adventure coming up? Are you going to be, hiking across Russia, trying to stop the people in Iran from having nuclear weapons? I mean, that's what's next, I think. You have nothing left here.
Right. I think I'm retired from those crazy adventures, maybe.
Okay. A reality show, maybe? It'd be perfect for a reality show.
Yeah, she would.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being on.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Glenn, you are so funny. Because the woman has written four books, okay? Four books! And you're like, are they out on audiobooks yet? Because I'm not going to read them. Like, somebody needs to read them to me.
How about audiobook guy? Audible.com.
You're ridiculous. You're so lazy you can't even read the book yourself. You're like, hey, I will read it, but only once it's on Books on Tape.
Well, and I really like the audiobooks, too, that the authors do, because they have something invested in it. So, they usually do a better job in many cases. But, I might get the book and actually read it. But once it comes out in audiobook, if it's on Audible, I'll read it for sure.
You will not read it if it's out, not on audiobooks. Don't lie.
Yes, I will.
You're the only guy laying on the beach who everybody else is reading a book and you've got like a Walkman.
That's right. And I'm reading a book too. I'm just doing it a little differently than everybody.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
And get your copy now. I just noticed that Amazon is down to 9 copies left, so must be selling pretty well. That's great for her. Well, and she also made me feel really lazy and fat because, when you read about that, kayaking from Miami to Key West, that's a long way. It takes 4 hours to drive on that bridge from Miami to Key West. Cycling from Fairbanks to the Arctic Ocean. Now, she couldn't do that in a warm climate. If I was cycling anywhere, I'm going to be cycling in the South, not in Alaska.
Let me tell you, Chad and I rented a kayak in Hawaii, okay, a double kayak or double person, it was a double person kayak to ride around in the ocean, very smooth waters, and we rented it for an hour, and we kayaked for like 20 minutes. We're like, okay, that's enough.
This had to take her days, I mean.
Yeah, and here's this chick doing it from Miami to, that's awful. I hate that drive.
All right, let's take a break for our Kentucky Performance Products Nutrition Minute, and then we're going to catch up with Tammy Sarant, who is live at Road to the Horse at the Kentucky Horse Park. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Hey, Have you heard of a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii? It's a type of probiotic that benefits your horse's digestive tract. Often referred to as S. boulardii, it works in several different ways. One unique property of S. boulardii is that it supports the stimulation of the enzymes found in the intestinal lining. These enzymes help your horse digest starches and sugars in the small intestine. When the sugars and starches are more completely digested, fewer of them escape into the hindgut, where they can ferment and cause imbalances that may lead to colic, diarrhea, and laminitis. Saccharomyces boulardii is found in Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products. Nalox Advanced contains a blend of yeast, fermentation solubles, and stomach buffers. These ingredients work together to maintain your horse's digestive tract in peak condition. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of all ages and stages and is fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. Well, there is, Jennifer's going to be getting Tammy on the line here. There is good news coming out of Washington for a change here, and that is they have a new bill in Congress called the Safeguard American Food Exports Act that was introduced following the discovery of Europe that horse meat was everywhere, which Jamie was talking about earlier. And this one is a bill before Congress aimed at preventing human consumption of horse meat. And also, they're trying to get in back in this bill that horses could not be slaughtered in the United States. And so, if you remember right, that expired in 2011, the we couldn't slaughter horses here. It was a five-year ban that expired. Well, this bill is back before Congress. So if you want to write to your congressman, it's the Safeguard American Food Exports Act. Encourage them to pass it.
Yeah. No, well, it'd be great if everybody would put pen to paper and write a letter to support that. And I know that, you know, we had it expired, but wasn't there some other stuff with some bill that Obama signed that lets them reopen slaughterhouses?
Well, that's what happened. The ban on the on slaughtering horses expired in 2011, and he would not, you know, sign it back. So that's where all the controversy came from. And they did not renew that ban. So now, you know, we have to put a new bill forward, and hopefully this one will do it. And it also says you're not allowed to serve horse meat in the United States. It basically makes that illegal too. So let's hope that this one goes through and we can get it through.
One more reason to not vote for Barack Obama next time.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Next time, I am definitely not voting for that guy.
It shouldn't be a problem. Well, I think we have Tammy on the line there, Janie.
Oh, fantastic. Tammy, good morning. Did we wake you up?
Oh, wake me up, guys. I didn't think I slept for a week.
Are you serious? Is it so?
I feel like Roger the Horse is over already, and it hasn't started.
Why? What's been going on?
Oh, it's been great. It's a huge event this year, and we've got a lot of preparation. So we're out here at the Kentucky Horse Park, and we've done tickets and sponsors and vendors and clinicians and all the preparations. And so it's a lot of preparation for a big finale. So we're exhausted, but we're excited.
You're exhausted. What is your role at Road to the Horse? You're not just a media coverage there, I assume.
No, I I'm actually the face behind the Facebook, and doing a lot of media coordination. I'm working with the marketing and just kind of the runaround person. So it's been a lot of fun, and to actually be a part of something that is so wonderful, especially being on its 10th anniversary and the first time at the Alltech Arena. It's just such a special occasion for Road to the Horse, so it's pretty awesome experience.
I should say so. Now, right now going on is the clinician meet and greet. I'm looking at the schedule.
Yes.
So this is how. Now I know that we are finally in a bigger venue for this. And yeah. What is the buzz? Is it going to be sold out? Is it just craziness? Is it packed?
It's craziness. It's crazy.
Really?
Yep, it is. And actually, I took a bunch of photos of the big line at the front of the Alltech Arena, and I'm just about to press post before you guys call. So in a couple of minutes, I'll have that on Road to the Horse Facebook. Everyone can follow everything on there. So all the nation members got in first, and they're actually meeting the clinicians right now. So it is sold out, and then we did have to have a webcast, a live webcast on horsecity.com. So there's a lot of ways for people to view it if they weren't able to get a ticket. There may be a few tickets left, but I know that there's only a really limited supply. So if there is any, they're online at roadtothehorse.com, or they can catch the website on horsecity.com.
So tell us a little bit about what clinicians we have this year.
This year is pretty interesting, and it's we have Obi Sloan, who is a kind of a Mustang young clinician. She's I think she's 18 years old, and then we have Sarah Winters, who is Richard Winters' daughter. And then we have the Australians, Dan James and Guy McLean, and I know you guys have had them on the morning show before, so that kind of familiar faces. So we have a group of young clinicians this year, so it's going to be kind of exciting. It's the first time we've had two girls, so it's kind of like the guys versus the girls, kind of U.S. versus Australia, so not quite sure how it's going to go.
So they have teams, but they're not, two people are not working on the same horse.
No, and it's not really teams this year. We had teams last year, but at the end of the event, we're just going to have one winner. So whether it's going to be Australian or whether it's going to be American or a guy or girl or however it's going to go down, there's going to be one champion.
Okay, so what is coming up? Where are the horses that they're going to get? Do you already know which horse goes with which person? How does the horse selection work?
They had a Romita come in from the 4-6s ranch. And then they are going to go ahead and run the remuter in, and then clinicians are going to come out, and then they are going to pick the horse they want to work with for the weekend. And then they'll go ahead and work with that horse, and then go ahead and have a couple of round pen days and then go through an obstacle course. So each clinician will select the horse from the remuter, and that's the horse they'll continue to work with throughout the weekend. So they have seen those horses, but they haven't had a chance to touch them or work with them yet, so... That's kind of where they're at with the horses.
Gotcha. Now, how exactly did, going back to a little bit of history, because this has become such a big event, it's such a fun event,
mm-hmm.
How did Road to the Horse even get started?
It started actually in Fort Worth. In 2003, we're on our 10th anniversary, we skipped, I think it was 2004, one of the years got skipped, but it was just... I think about 1,000 people went to the first event, and it was just a way to showcase horsemanship and just to showcase a gentler kind of approach to natural horsemanship, and that was the whole goal of Road to the Horse. And it just got bigger, and, you know, it's kind of amazing when you have a wild remuter or untouched remuter come in and gallop around the arena, and then 2-3 days later you have this clinician that can take this horse through an obstacle course and in front of a crowd of, you know, 5,000, 8,000 people. I mean, there's nothing phenomenal to watch than that. So I think it was really just a celebration of the horse. That's really the goal of Road to the Horse. And it's not discipline specific, you know. Good horsemanship, whether you're starting a racehorse, whether you're starting a dressage prospect. So I think really this is just a phenomenal group of people who love horses, regardless of what they do with them, you know, after they started them. So I think it's really just in honor of the horse.
At the risk of sounding stupid, what is a remuda?
Just,
good question.
It's just a herd, yep.
Okay, I've never heard that before. Okay.
Why didn't you just say herd?
Word.
Why not just say herd?
Yeah. It's a remuda.
They just want to sound
when
fancy.
When in Rome, Glenn.
Just going, what's a Remuda? I thought, you know, a Remuda sounds like the name of a Chevy car, you know, the Chevy Remuda. You know, I had no idea what
it was. Oh, no, we're all Dodge Ram here. We've actually got Dodge Rams in the arena right now.
That's a good day.
Yeah.
It is.
So if I may ask a question, Glenn, about the Remuda. Where did the Remuda come from, and how did we find this Remuda to use?
the six of us being at Roads of the Horse, I think it's the last 3 or 4 years, they go out, Tootie Bland, the producer of Roads of the Horse, goes out to the four sixes and they hand select the horses that they are going to bring to Roads of the Horse. So they're a mixture of the bloodlines from the four sixes ranch. They are cow horse, performance horse bloodlines. So they have not been started and they have not been halter broke. They've just lived out on the ranch and they're gathered and they're brought here and the clinician's working them from then on. So the special thing about this year is Dan James and Guy McLean have actually brought back the colts that they bought from the competition last year. So the audience has a chance to watch how far these horses have progressed over a year from last year's competition. So I've had a chance to watch a couple of rehearsals, and I mean, they've got bareback riderless work coming up, and that's within 12 months of being started. So there's some phenomenal demonstrations going to happen this weekend.
Well, after what they did with them last year, you'd expect these horses to be doing dang backflips for a whole year. I mean, they got them 2 to 3 days. They're doing all the stuff they did last
much
year.
Are, Jamie.
Okay, everybody, time for the horses to jump rope. Like, I mean, really, it's crazy.
I was kind of embarrassed watching their rehearsals because I was like, this horse, they've had it for 12 months and is doing all this stuff, and I've got a six-year-old at home that won't even do that.
No, I mean, it's almost unrealistic to us normal horse people that people have those kind of skills that they have. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And that's why they're there. And that's why people pay $250 a ticket to come to this thing to watch. And it's such a cool thing and such a unique thing. And it really champions. It's the idea that you can do this stuff gently and, you know, kindly and with patience. It's just such a great idea. Glenn, did you have a question?
Yeah, they always have entertainers come in to entertain in between times. Do you know who some of those are this year?
They do. I know the one on Bandit, who is a rodeo entertainer, is coming in to do a performance.
Wow.
And I actually haven't seen him before.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
You're going to freak out when you see this. Holy cow. It's incredible.
Yeah, I've heard. I haven't seen any practice or rehearsals from him either, so I'm kind of excited to see the real deal, so I'm hoping he does something today. So.
When you see his rig, you're going to realize you want one of those. You want one of those rigs. It's incredible.
Yeah,
so
I'm kind of excited.
For you. But we'll have to come back on next week and recap Road to the Horse and maybe
uh-huh.
early next week and tell us what you thought about all of it. And, of course, then we'll have a winner crowned for Road to the Horse. Anything you're particularly super excited about besides the whole thing?
You know, and I don't want to play favorites, but being a friend Australian, I'm really excited. For the audience, I guess, to see Swampy, which is the horse Dan James won on, and Aussie, the horse Guy McLean on, I think there's just nothing more inspirational to see these colts that were just so green and just so unstarted, I guess. It might not be the best word, but then to come back and see them lope bridleless and lay down and do freestyle work and liberty work. And I mean, I'm just, I'm almost embarrassed on my own horses. So I think that's the thing I'm excited about, just for the audience to see these horses that have had a phenomenal start and how proud, the four sixes can be of these. They're just the most phenomenal promotions that the four sixes can have of these geldings that have just done so well the last year. So I think that's
really
the thing
is
I'm looking forward to most.
Now, Tammy, you can't totally lie to me when you say you're excited to see Dan James and Guy McLean and the horses. Let's be honest, it's Dan James and Guy McLean because they're so hot. How did you guys find them?
Oh, Jamie. Seriously, talking to an Australian, the last thing I want to see is another... Like, in that what kind of way is an Australian, really? It's like you going all the way to Australia and being excited to see an American.
No, it doesn't. They're not normal Australians. They're beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I kind of engaged, so I got to have no comment on that question.
Hey, I'm
love
married.
The horses.
It don't change. Tammy,
now,
it's been awesome to talk to you.
I have one more question for Tammy, and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
I know you got a lot to do. What? Yep. How do you think it's different now at the Alltech Arena? Are you getting a different vibe? Do you think it's going to be louder or actually quieter
it's
in the arena?
It's bigger. It's a bigger deal, and that's the vibe I'm getting. Everything. It's the first time we've had a huge vendor hall. It's the biggest shopping experience we've ever had. It's a bigger stadium, and it's still sold out. You know, I mean, it's a huge webcast going out. Everything is just a bigger deal, and I think the other thing that's happened is the bar's raised. Every time you come back, I mean, it's the same in any sport, I think, Glenn, and this is a competition, and there's no denying that, and when you come back and when you give a demonstration or when you give a clinic or something like that, I mean, there's always, you've got to take it to the next level, and I think that's what we're seeing with clinicians, and that's what we're seeing with horses, and there's always more, and there's always better, and there's always stronger and, you know, bigger, and I think that's what's happening with the event, and that's what's happening with the clinicians, and but it's all done in a beautiful way, and I think that's the exciting thing about the event. So it's different, you know, it really is. It's not just some clinicians. It is not just a clinic. It's a spectacle, and that's the thing that I've really loved about it. This is my third year, and I just wouldn't miss it.
Well,
and you
I
can
gotta
watch
say,
it.
Go ahead. Hold on. One second. I'm looking at the website on Road to the Horse, and Tammy, if you don't mind, just go by that Ram truck display and enter my name in to win the new Ram truck. That would be fantastic.
I sure will. You gotta swing by Road to the Horse Facebook and like it.
Oh, I will. Done. Sorry.
Okay.
We're good.
You can watch the live webcast at horsecity.com. It's $29.99 for all 3 days. Yep, all three days. And
all three
I know
days.
That you. And we want to see everybody crash those servers. Crash the servers. So many people watching.
You will. And then any ticket information is at Road to the Horse Tickets. I know some of the tickets were available for $80 for all 3 days. So if there's any tickets available, it would be on Road to the Horse /tickets.
Okay. Thank you, Tammy. We know you got to go.
Yep. Oh, you're
all
welcome.
Right.
You're welcome. Thanks for checking in.
All right. Have fun.
See you guys.
Weekend.
I will. Okay. Thanks.
Bye. We got to get her on next week.
Yeah, we have to get her on next week with the winner. We need to get the winner on next week, too. And, of course, that was Tammy Sorant, co-host of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Her boyfriend, or fiancé now, is the guy in charge of marketing for the Road to the Horse, which is why she's so actively involved in it. And she's helping him out with the marketing end of it. So I one of these years, I've got to get to see it. It's on my bucket list.
We've got to go. Maybe we'll go next year.
And we need to do the show live from there on Friday morning. That'd be fun. You can bring the baby
home. Yeah, sure. You can Jennifer will babysit while we do the show, right,
yes,
Jennifer?
That's right. Yeah, that's a producer's job. All right, let's take a break for our song today. Are you married?
Jennifer, stop hitting buttons.
For you, Mary Ann Kennedy lovers out there, we have Horsenality for you, one we haven't heard in a very long time. We're going to be back with really bad ads in a few minutes.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com or you can call us at 859-951-2022. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
that was Mary Ann Kennedy with her song Horsenality. You can find all of her music at maryannkennedy.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by KPPUSA.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at KPPUSA.com. I have a highlight show that I'd like to point out from the Horse Radio Network this week, and that's a Stable Scoop show. I had the week off because last week we did the Horse Husbands episode, and this week Helena took over and did the fifth annual Not So Desperate Horse Wives episode. She got a couple of her friends, Sissy Finn and Cammie Beckman, to come on, and they talked about husbands and kids and horses and life. And they actually stayed. I got to tell you, they actually stayed on topic this year. Usually that just turns into this whole big discussion about horses and riding and everything and gets off the topic of husbands and, you know, life and all that. They actually stayed on topic for the whole hour this year. I was impressed. So it was a pretty good show. Head on over to stablescoop.com and catch that latest episode, the payback episode for all that we said the week before.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently only you needed payback, so hopefully they ripped you because all the other husbands are really nice.
Yeah, they were, yeah. Hey, I got to say, there's something happening again. We've been doing this show for over 2 years now, and it's been off and on that horses' tails are getting cut off. This time in Utah, people are stealing tails. And,
come
you know,
on.
I know, they're back at it again. Benny, a 27-year-old, a horse that was just hanging out in the field. He was a show horse. He had won a ton of ribbons and medals. Somebody showed up in the middle of the night and cut his tail off. And then there was another horse also in Utah, and the sheriff said, I love this, said that he fears the person who cut Benny's tail mistakenly believes the horse's tail is worth its weight in gold. And apparently what this sheriff is saying is it's only like worth $10 to $50. So
that's ridiculous. To ruin a poor, this horse is like 27 years old, ruin the rest of his life for $10.
I'm always amazed, too. You know, people rob convenience stores and stuff all the time, and they walk away with like less than $100. You know, it's like, are you risking 10 years in jail for $100?
Those are the people that jail is not a deterrent.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a bill in Arizona, to wrap up what I have for news today. There's a bill in your state that would include miniature horses as guide animals. And we've been seeing that bill passed in a bunch of other states now. So it looks like Arizona. You might be going to a restaurant or you might be going into a concert or something, and you're going to see a little mini horse guiding somebody around. And they said it could be used for people who are blind or anybody that really needs a service animal. So you could be seeing that soon.
That would be sad. If I saw that, I would just I would have to take a picture and post it on Facebook for sure.
Yes.
One news story for you here is it's just sexy is what it is. If you go to horsenation.com, they have a sound off. It's what's the sexiest heavy-duty truck of 2013? And they've got a picture, and it says, the bottom of the caption says, best pickup line ever, and it's a line of Dodge trucks that are stacked, like, one after another, and that is the best pickup line. So they're taking votes on what is the best truck, of course, for, you know, this year, I guess. They've got the Dodge Ram, the 2013 3500 Heavy Duty, the 2013 GMC 3500 Sierra. Then they've got the S350 Super Duty, the 3500 Chevy Silverado. Oh, gosh. It's just, like, just the sexiest article to read. Something about trucks. Big old brand new trucks. Oh, awesome. And I think every one of them are dualies, too. So really, what goes best with a dually? A huge, giant horse trailer with living quarters. So it's just fantasy land over there at horsenation.com.
And we apologize to all the Ford lovers out there, but Jamie, Jennifer, and I, we're all Dodge lovers, so sorry about that.
I'm not apologizing. Did I apologize? No.
Do you love Dodge trucks? They look like trucks. I just like the way they look, too. You know, we owned our Dodge truck, and you have a Dodge truck currently, right?
I do, and it replaced my one I had before that had 300,000 miles on it, and that's what I love about it was, I'm sorry, as a female, I have tried my best, especially, well, with my last Dodge, before I got married, I tried my best to wean that truck off of oil and gasoline, fuel, and you know what? It kept running, and it doesn't work to wean it off oil or fuel, so let me just tell you that right now, and my Dodge truck kept going, despite me putting gasoline into a diesel truck. That was pretty much the only major mechanical problem that I had, and clearly that was my fault. So,
and they don't run real well that way, do they? As you discovered.
I'm going to tell you what. With my horse trailer attached, it ran really well for about 7 miles.
and then it stopped running. It's the $3,000 bill to fix the engine that's the real problem.
You know what was really awesome about that, just a little backstory, is that I got a quote for $2,400 because I had to get a whole new fuel line. This is the reason not to put gas in your diesel truck. $2,400, and I got fired the next day from my job. It was like the worst. Seriously. Yeah, that's radio for you. Hey, you don't work here anymore. But I just had to fix my truck.
Yeah, they don't really care about that, do they?
No, they didn't really. They didn't had no sympathy whatsoever.
Awesome. All right, well, it's that time of week, everybody.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of week for really bad ads. The time of week when Jamie and I get to have a little fun at others' expense. And the prizes this week are two things we're going to be giving away. One of the coveted Equity Flexin' Forks. This, is, of course, is the manure fork that most of the hosts here on the Horse Radio Network use and love. Jamie has a couple of hers, and we have a couple here, and we just love these things. They work well. They're the only manure fork with a built-in suspension system that stops poop from flying in your face. They're tough. They're durable. You're not going to break these things. So check them out at equitymfg.com. This is a $50, well, probably with shipping, more like a $70 value. So we'll be giving one of those away today to one of the winners. And also, the Horse Agility Handbook, a step-by-step introduction to the sport of horse agility. So if you want to teach your horse to jump through flaming hoops or to stand on a little box, then this is the book for you. This is the ultimate guide in horse agility, and we're going to be sending one of those out to a second winner as well. Well, as usual, I pick, by the way, the names that we give out here are people who sent in the ads, not the name of the people who posted the ad on Craigslist. And I always go out and find one, and I usually find one of the most ridiculous ones that doesn't have anything to do with animals or horses. But I found one here that I thought was really cute and well-written. This was a well-written one, so I thought I'd switch it up this week. The title is Certified Pre-Owned Cat, Orange Tabby. Great for the holiday season. This 2005 Fat Cat is on special this month, featuring a beautiful mango orange color scheme with neon carrot racing stripes. This one has plenty of miles left on the odometer. In fact, this particular cat was stored entirely indoors and has no more than a half mile or so on the odometer. This model was very low maintenance and purrs like a kitten. This orange tabby was recently given a full 152-point inspection by the local kitty mechanic and has been certified to be in like-new conditions. This baby is fully loaded. One bed, some food, bowls, and all the tools you'll need are included. This month, we are running a special for all qualified buyers. No money down, no payments ever. You can drive him home for the low, low price of a donation to the Oregon Humane Society in any amount you like, preferably in the form of a check made out to Oregon Humane. Call now to schedule your test drive. What a cute ad.
That person, number one, has way too much time on their hands. Number two, probably works at a used car dealer and found this cat. So that's hilarious.
It's a great ad.
It's very
really
clever.
Good.
Very clever.
Yep. Very good.
Sorry, you can't win. Next. this is from Melanie, and this is fantastic. Gorgeous. Sorrel, registered quarter horse mare, $1,500. And this is from Richmond Hill, Georgia. Diamond is a beautiful, sweet 8-year-old mare who needs an experienced rider to give her a loving home and make her into the phenomenal horse she really is, or really could be, you know, seriously. She has been in the pasture for several years with minimal work. We bought her in July and have had her in training with an excellent trainer since August. She needs an experienced rider who can work with her regularly, and due to physical limitations, I am not an experienced enough rider to do it. I love her and think she's the most beautiful horse in the world. I would not be selling her if I didn't have to. She has excellent ground manners and responds well to training, but needs an experienced rider. She loves attention and people. She will do what you ask of her, but just needs a firm hand. She's not malicious at all, and given an opportunity, she could really be an excellent show horse. She just needs someone who's going to ride her regularly and put the miles in her and is an experienced rider. Her gaits and movements are lovely. She could also be bred. Her great-grandsire was Zippo Pinebar, the greatest Western pleasure horse of all time. I care very much about Diamond and her well-being. Contact me for details. So,
what kind of rider does it need?
I don't know. I can't remember. I forgot. Is that somebody saying you're going to die if you buy this horse?
Yes. That's what. You know, we provide a service here on this show when we do really bad ads every Friday. What we provide for you is an insight into what you read between the lines of these ads. We are saving people a lot of heartache and misery and broken bones by doing these ads. Yeah,
and when it
says 1, 2, 3, 4, when it says 5 times in the ad, it needs an experienced rider. Run the other way. Yeah,
run. Seriously,
I don't care how experienced you are. Run. This horse is going to kill you. You're going to be dead in Georgia. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah, you will be.
Celeste Coulter sent this one in. 5-year-old mare gated. 14.3 HDS is gree broke. Just needs someone with more time to finish her. Oh, this one must be the sister of the one above.
Oh, no.
Just same person, your sister. 19-month-old filly quarter horse. Cross-dose all basic groundwork. 2 saddles, Western, Balangnakit, bridles, halters, and leads. My 12-year-old has messed with both these horses. Only reason for sailing is I need a beginner-safe horse that she can trail raid on. I don't have enough pasture to keep them and get her another horse. Also can't keep horses that no one going to use can sail a package or separate. Or trade for beginner safe horse that is not over 17 years old and is not in good health. No texted, please.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what you read. What is
no
this?
Idea.
And what do they
no
want?
Idea. I have no idea. Oh, is she trying to sell a horse or is she trying to buy one?
I don't know, because the top of it says 5-year-old gated mare. That's the title. 5-year-old gated mare, 14.3 hands, rebroke. And then afterwards, it's talking about a filly quarter horse, and her 12-year-old, is that a child or a horse, has messed with both these horses. What a cluster. I'm sorry. That is just that's a really bad ad. That's a really bad ad.
I don't know where that was from. It had to be Georgia.
Why you got it back on Georgia? It might have been Florida. Who knows? Probably Pennsylvania. Brandy Bryant sent in the next one. And the title is Horses Make Offer. Reg, 20-year-old, Morgan Gelding, 15, two hands. He's been in the top five twice in world for saddle seat in the English Pleasure, and this horse will go all day on some trails, and he can jump some logs, and he is just a real fun horse to ride, and he's one heck of a horse, and I've played with him around the barrels, and he's very quick, and he just had shoes put on, but he don't really need them, and he load well in my trailer. That's all one sentence. And let's see, the word and it's not and, it's an. Well, I don't know. I can't even, too many to count. The next thing is, two-year, 12-hand Appy Pony Gelding broke to ride and goes through water and ride bareback with saddle or rides with a bit or halter and lead rope. This pony would make nice 4-H project pony or play day pony, and he stands tied, picks up feet, and he loads great. And you can use a period. Oh, and the last line, and can make payments, too. We can do a bill of sale.
I just counted the number of ands in that one. It is 14.
Is that in both the top and bottom ones?
There are 14 ands in that one.
And so, that's where there should be 14 periods. And it's not even and. It's an. That's the whole wrong word. Oh, God. Oh,
Jennifer,
my God, this next one is from Palatka, Florida, Jennifer. Why? That is where my mother used to live up until about 2 weeks ago. So this is going to be exciting.
And, Jen, we can't hear you if you're I can hear Jennifer sort of talking in there, but we can't hear her.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm just over here laughing. There was, it's just laughing. It's just laughing.
Oh.
Laughing.
All right. Well, Jennifer found this one probably in our local Craigslist, Palatka, Georgia, or Palatka, Florida. Sound horse trailer, $450. This tried and true trailer has a new floor and is horse sound. 6 foot high and 6 foot deep, plus addition room for hay manger and tack space under that. Good tires and tracks like a good hound dog. Tracks,
oh,
like
my God. What does that
Your mother
mean?
Used to live there?
My mom just moved out of East Palatka, and I was so glad because I hate visiting her. It's so scary.
And tracks like a good hound dog. Pics were taken after I pulled this trailer from Brooksville to Palatka with my Pasofino without any hitches. Now
oh,
it's
wait,
a year
wait,
trailer.
Wait. Does that mean the Pasofino pulled it?
Well, let me tell you, if the Pasofino pulled this from Brooksville to Palatka, it would have taken a week. You know how fast Pasofinos go. They go 90 miles an hour and make no progress.
Sensitivity rupture is so important.
Can you picture a Pasofino pulling a little two-horse trailer down the road and his little feet going, bah, 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 bah.
You know, Pasofinos exhaust me just by watching them. Like, I'm like, God, seriously? I'm so tired watching you trot or whatever that gait is. But it's very smooth, I must say. Brandy Bryant sent in the next one. And this is fantastically in all capital letters, and I'm not going to yell it, but just understand that this is all in capital letters and very few pieces of punctuation. Horses for sale. Please don't flag this ad sale just trying to downsize herd think. Awfully. I'm sorry. That's the top line. Awesomely imprinted and personnel, wonderful natured, 110% sound, healthy, and sweetest hearted kids. All health checks
selling
paid
kids?
By buyer. Yeah, exactly. All health checks paid by buyers and Coggins will go with horses, vet checks paid by buyers. Have all vet check up on horses from my recorders. All dewormed, all trimed, UTD on vac. Some yearlings, some unbroke, but imprinted and groundwork. Some registered, they all know round pin workout, smooth movers, trusting of their handlers. Some graded. All prices are negotiable and final in cash, no tire kickers. These are my kids. I am sad over letting them go. Plus, be aware, loving homes callers. For more info, please call an offer. Will be considered, and please call. We can talk. Serious inquiries only. Don't waste time.
You know, it really could be their kids. That's scary.
You're going to get there thinking you're going to look at horses, and there's like a lineup of children.
And you know what? It never really says anything about what the horses are, what breed they are, nothing.
No, it's their kids, I'm telling you. I'm going to report these people.
I have all vet checkup on my all horses from my recorders.
And some are yearlings, and they're unbroke, but they have been groundworked.
This is a really bad ad. Really bad. And oh, by the way, can we talk about something that I'm going to get on my high horse here for a second? Awesomely imprinted. And then it goes on in the next, some unbroke but imprinted. Let's talk about this for a second, Jamie. Aren't all baby horses imprinted in one way or another, either good or bad? They are all imprinted. So this person doesn't clarify whether it's a good imprinted or a bad imprinted.
It's awesomely imprinted. Hello.
Oh, sorry.
I think they're pretty clear.
Yeah. You're right.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Very crystal clear. Awesomely.
Imprinted. What exactly does that mean, anyway? I know it. Is that a Pirelli thing? Or I'm just lost on that one. Jennifer?
The imprinted is that...
Yeah.
Well, imprinted is a whole thing done by that vet who, like... beats on their feet and, like, sticks his finger in their ear and up their butt and, like, goes crazy. We had him on the show, remember?
Dr. Robert Miller. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay, I stick with my conjecture that all baby horses are imprinted one way or another, whether it's good or bad.
Okay. Yeah, whether it's good or bad.
That.
You stick with
it. Oh, my God. Not the next one.
I know.
The one that you Oh, my God, I didn't see that before. That is terrifying.
Okay, I'm
Jamie?
Just going to do it now. I'll do it now. Because I wanted to surprise you with this one. This was submitted to me.
What the hell is that?
This was submitted to me. And so I wanted to save it, not send it to Jennifer, because I just wanted to surprise you and get the reaction that I'm getting right now.
Oh, my God.
That, my friend... for $280 could be yours. And apparently that is called a sugar glider. Although I'm pretty sure sugar gliders are cuter than this. I don't know what that is. It looks like a cross between Yoda and that gizmo thing with the gremlins and also some sort of weird vampire bat. The ad says sugar gliders for sale. It isn't the prettiest, but it sure is nice and in need of a good home. Asking for $280 unless you have something better like a goldfish or a car that you want to trade.
This thing is terrifying. Isn't
that the worst thing you've ever seen? Please post that on our Facebook and let's watch the comments come in. This is for sale up in northern Arizona.
$280 too. The eyes are green. I have never seen green. I mean, the white part that's usually white around the outside is green. And the ears stick straight out the side of its head, and it's got these little hands. Oh, man. Can you imagine having company over and say, I want you to meet Sugar? They'd run screaming.
It is literally like, think of Gizmo meets a vampire bat meets Gollum.
Gollum's a good one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's post that on Facebook. I'm sorry. That is so funny. It's so funny. It's so scary.
Jamie, you found the next one. Jennifer wrote Yoda's bastard child.
Yoda's bastard child. Awesome.
Jamie said. You found the next one. You found another. Oh, you just wanted me to do this because it wouldn't be a week of really bad ads unless I talked about poop. So this one's free horse manure, Cave Creek and Cactus. Cactus the name of a town in Arizona?
It's a street.
Oh, street. Okay. Free horse manure. Oh, this is funny. Free horse manure. Come pick it up and it's yours. It's scattered throughout the stalls in the pasture. Free. Does that really work?
You know what?
You need to try this sometime.
didn't you have some poop you needed to remove?
Yes, we have a whole year's worth in the back. We have to pay $200 for a dumpster to come in, and then we have to, you know, get the guy with the front end loader to load it. We could just put an ad in Craigslist.
Dude, I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you. If you can find an ad, literally, this is not too far from my house. At Cave Creek and Cactus, you can drive up free horse manure. All you have to do is it's scattered throughout the stalls and the pasture. It's free. While you're at it, you can come clean my pastures and my stalls, too. Brilliant, though. Brilliant.
All right. Jessica Good sent the next one. Why don't you take that one?
AQHA Purple Chestnut Gelding, $4,500. 11-year-old AQHA Purple Chestnut Gelding, 15 one-hands, very well broke all-around horse. In the summer, he is so dark, the old cowboys call him a purple chestnut. He has been trail ridden for the past 1.5 years.
Are you sure this isn't a My Little Pony? Aren't they purple?
I don't understand what... I don't even know what chestnut would look purple. I've never heard of a purple chestnut. Apparently, this purple chestnut hauls, ties, stands great for the farrier, has a ground-needing walk, ground ties, up-to-date on shoes, crosses water, carries flags. My 5-year-old granddaughter even rode him and loves her purple chestnut. He is trained to drive and the cowboy extreme horse, too. He has had a rope thrown off of him. Please call Marilyn. I might be interested in trading for a well-broke buckskin.
Not purple.
Not purple. What the hell is a purple chestnut?
We're learning. You know, you can't say that you don't learn something when you listen to this show. Because today we've learned what a remuda is, and I still think they just made that term up. And then we've learned today, well, we never really did learn what a purple chestnut was. Did we? So if anybody can help us with that.
But it's not a buckskin. It's not a buckskin. And I would like to tell you that I Googled sugar glider images.
Yeah.
And they do not look anything like this bizarre picture of this creepy animal that was sent in. Sugar gliders are these cute little mice-looking things that fly around. I don't know what it's Gollum. It's a miniature Gollum.
Yep, yep. Yoda's bastard child. Gollum and Yoda got together.
Yep, Yoda and Gollum bred and had a baby.
Next one was sent in by Yudi. Oh, God, this is bizarre. What is it, Bizarro Day? Saddle, table, and seat combo, $100 in Florida. Thanks a lot, Yudi. I have a combination coffee table footstool converted into a saddle deco table. Saddle is all an old Red Ranger made in Chattanooga, Tennessee, number 730. Not a usable saddle. Tree is broken. Area under saddle and cushion is covered with burlap. If wanting to use it for table spaces, saddle fastened to juniper branch, I bought the table with only one cushion. This is the most bizarre thing. It's what probably was a coffee table. I don't know. Might have been a coffee table, had some cushions, but they have this branch that comes up out of the side of the table and there's a saddle on it. So I guess you're supposed to sit on the saddle and watch TV? I don't know.
It's like, imagine, if you will, a bench that has two seats and like the middle section of the bench. It's like in three sections. It's seat, table, seat. And that part's really cute. And they've got a little cushion on it. They have a picture of the cat jumping. But what the bizarre part is that one of those seats, out of the side of the entire bench, this bent saddle, like, piece of wood comes up, and there's an old-ass, ugly Western saddle that is sitting on it, and it's clearly where you would sit if you were sitting on the bench. So I don't understand. Like, I think the bench is really cute, and if the saddle was pointing the other direction, but you can't even sit on it. It is a
Jennifer,
very bizarre piece of wood.
Jennifer, you're going to have to post this one on Facebook, too. Post the ad and the picture on Facebook. That is bizarre.
I don't know. I don't want to cover up the sugar glider. If that's what it truly is.
Can't wait to see what the comments are on that one.
Oh, my gosh. That is the most bizarre thing ever. Okay, Rachel sent this one in.
Roosters, $150. Roosters for sale. One for $150 and a trio for $350.
What?
They are nice looking. Okay. Let me just read the thing and then we'll pick it apart.
Okay.
Roosters for $150 and a trio for $350. They are nice looking roosters that are great for shows and for breading. I would love to keep them, but I can't have them no more at my house, and they have asked me to get rid of some. For more information, please feel free to contact me and ask for Jose. 150 pesos, because I don't know a person on the planet who's going to pay $150 for one of your roosters. They again, people dump roosters in my yard.
Yeah, nobody wants a rooster. The most we've ever seen a rooster go for in the ads we've done is like $1.50. Maybe even $1.50 and $3.50.
I don't know. Jose, maybe it's 150 pesos, which is the equivalent of $1.50. I don't know.
I like the slip, too. They are nice-looking roosters and are great for shows and for breading.
Obviously.
I like that.
It's the breading part. They come pre-breaded. It's like Kentucky Fried Chicken already done.
Yeah, just dump them in the fryer. And then I want to know, the other thing that struck me about this one, Jamie, is who are they? They told me I can't have them anymore. They told me I had to get rid of some. Who is they?
Big Brother. Big Brother's watching Jose.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Rachel sent in the next one. Racing Pigeons Loft Sellout, $20. Leaving the sport, come and get them. Breeder selling entire loft after many years in the sport. Some flying stocks as well as youngsters, bred for racing and futurities with high-quality racing homing pigeon bloodlines. I have plenty to choose from, priced accordingly to quality and starting from $20 to $75 each with minimum purchase of 4 birds. If you're interested, email me with your phone number or I will ignore. I got to tell you, this is the first time we've ever had racing pigeons. Is that really a thing?
Dude, I just realized that there is a sport for everybody. I mean... There is a sport for everybody. They have racing futurities, seriously, with pigeons. Again, you'll learn something every day. Wow.
Jennifer, your assignment is to get somebody on from the racing, from the homing pigeon races. We got to talk to somebody that races homing pigeons.
Jennifer, don't, because I don't want to fall asleep. It's really early in the morning, and I'm afraid that would be too boring.
$20 to $75 each. You could get a pigeon right outside my door. I mean, there's lots of pigeons. You don't have to say that.
Pigeons, doves, whatever you need, I got in my yard.
Oh, my God. Look at this trailer. Oh, my God.
So Rachel Nope sent in the last two, and then Rachel Miller sent in this unbelievably beautiful trailer.
It's a pink trailer. It's painted pink. It's one of those crappy little two-horse trailers that we see every week here on really bad ads. It's a stock style trailer, 2-inch ball hitch. Tires are in good working condition, but has low tread on them. Floor in good condition, asking $695, and they painted it bright Pepto Bismol pink. And it's air conditioned.
It's hideous.
By the way.
Yeah. No roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer, you can post that one online too. You want to take the next one?
I sure will. I'm looking at Robert Grantham posted under the sugar glider picture, and all he posted was ack, A-K-K-K-K-K. That's exactly. I mean, me, I was like, eek. So it just depends on what vowel you use.
Oh, you know what? We got a post, too, underneath the table that we just talked about. Nicole said, sometimes you just can't explain art.
Oh, under the saddle one?
Yeah, that's that one.
I guess that's what it is. That's the example. It's art. Let's see. Beth sent in this one, and it's horses, $900. My 14-year-old daughter is trying to sell 3 of her 9 horses in order to put money towards a younger, faster barrel horse. Oh, my God. Hold on. This is all one sentence. My 14-year-old daughter is trying to sell 3 of her 9 horses in order to put the money towards a faster, younger barrel horse. All 3 of these are really broke, not kids' horses, but not crazy either. She has had 2 of them 5 years, which she pasteurized in some poles and barrels this last year. All 3 8 geldings. One paint, 8 years old. All three, eight, A-T-E. What a difference one letter can make. All three, eight geldings, one paint 8 years old, line back done, really a thick made horse. He got too thick for barrels 9 years, and finally 12 years old, sorrel, he can be riding by lesser experienced rider on every event. He's not a speed horse, more or less a horse to start on. My 7-year-old daughter and a couple other kids have been riding him, and my youngest has graduated to 4-year-old filly with a PH, fat, you know, filly, and he needs to use some or. He needs to use or for some or. Call or text, come out and ride. We can meet you at the Eula Arena. $900 for the first two, $500 for the third. Firm price. Thanks for looking. What kind of crap ad is that? I don't even know what they're talking about.
I have no idea either. Well, that's the last one for this week. We got to award two prizes, and I think I'm going back up to the top here. I kind of think, you know, I really liked Celeste Coulter sent in the one that we started with. It really got us going. That was the 12-year-old, the 12-year that messed up both of the horses, and we had no idea at the end whether they were selling or buying horses. It was just a classic, really bad ad. So the gated quarter horse filly. So
yes.
let's go with that. Let's go with Celeste for the fork. Which one do you think that we should give the book to?
The fork? I don't know. I'm not in agreement with you. Well, first of all, I think the sugar glider thing is the most bizarre, really bad ad we've ever had. That picture.
Oh, that's true.
Says it all.
That is true. That is true. All right. Why don't we give the book to Celeste? And then you want to give the fork to Misa Dixon?
Misa Dickinson there. I think we should. Because I'm sorry, I've never seen anything like that ever in my entire life. And I'm still waiting for somebody on Facebook to tell me exactly what the hell it is. It can't be a sugar glider. It just can't be. I feel like calling them. If I had that number, I would call and be like, okay, listen, come clean. What is that?
Oh, well, somebody wrote, I think that's not a sugar glider, think back.
It
does
bat.
Look like a bat.
But, like, bats don't really have eyes, right? They don't really see. I don't know. It's so bizarre. It is so bizarre. You
right,
wrote,
so we'll...
oh, my God, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's seriously bad hair day, too.
All right, so that gets the fork, because it was so disturbing. And then we'll go with the book. What did I say? Celeste Coulter will get the book. So you got that, Jennifer?
Celeste book Misa fork.
Yes, correct. So you can email your address into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy your weekend. Have a fantastic time. And Jamie, stop riding horses now. You're 2 months away.
Not going to happen, Glenn. Not going to happen. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great weekend. We appreciate you sticking with us all week long and through these really bad ads. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Make it happen. I'm going to go back to bed.
That's really bad ads. Wore me out.
Bermuda.